our series that we started last Wednesday entitled Adding to Your Faith. And so 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and we're going to pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, I am just giddy knowing that I get to pastor this church, Father. People that are so faithful, so hungry for God. People that will do anything for the kingdom. People that will put their needs, put their desires, put their feelings aside for the kingdom of God to come out on a work night, on a school night, Father, to hear from you. Lord, it is an honor and a privilege to pastor this church and these people. And so, Father, I'm asking for your help. Because, Lord, I know maybe a lot of places might play church, but, Father, we'd never want to just play church. Every time we gather together, in your name, you're present. And any time you show up, you bring your gifts, you bring your abilities, you bring your power, you bring your might. And so there's always opportunity to have our lives changed. So, Lord, we're here by faith. And Lord, even if our flesh doesn't want to be here, if our flesh isn't engaged or our mind is saying things, Lord, our spirits are excited. And so we live out of that realm tonight. And we say by faith, we are going to receive from you tonight. And we will walk out of here changed. And Father, we will say, because it will be true, that it was worth the time to come out. So Father, give us utterance, give us boldness. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm going to read down through a few verses. Says this, and besides this, giving all diligence. Now look to the next four words. Add to your faith. We're big on faith around here, aren't we? And we should be. It's how we overcome, the Bible says in 1 John 5:4. It's how we please God, Hebrews 11:6. It's how we receive from God, Hebrews 6 and verse 12. It's how we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. So we're big on faith, but the Bible says that we need to add to our faith. And then he gives us things that we need to add. Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. So we, at times, we magnify faith and learning faith and the principles of faith. But the Bible says if we add these things, verse 8 says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, verse 10 says, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now look at this. For if you do these things, do what things? Add to your faith. You shall never fall. And that word fall in the Greek just means stumble. How awesome that God gives us the blueprint to live a life where we never stumble or fall. Financially, relationships, and our children, and our jobs. I mean, my goodness. And he told us in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, if you'll acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct your paths every single time. I mean, he has set us up for victory. I don't know what Bible the doom and gloom Christians are reading, the woe is me Christians are reading, the Christians are the dust of the earth and we're the weasels of the land and just we're just hanging. I don't know what Bible they're reading because the one I'm reading set me up so I can't fail in this life. So that I'm not saying we won't have tests and trials, but the Bible gives us the victory over these things. My goodness, how blessed are we? And it says, you'll never fall. And he says, down here in verse 12, he says, wherefore, or because of this, because it's so important, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it meet or right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, this earth, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So he says we need to add these things so we won't be barren or unfruitful, so we won't ever stumble. He says, and they're so important that I'm going to always remind you of them because I want you to walk in these things. Peter's saying, I don't want you to stumble. I don't want you to be barren or unfruitful. So we looked at one of them last week, and I wasn't taking them in any necessary order except for how they jumped out at me when I've been meditating on them and just kind of going with what my spirit seemed good to do. And so we looked at last week patience, didn't we? And we saw that you cannot be a faith person without patience, because the Bible says you receive the promise of God through faith and patience. And once you enter into faith, you're entering into faith which is of the unseen realm. And so when you release your faith for healing, it's because healing is not there. When you release your faith for finances, it's because the finances are not there. And so you're getting into faith. The Bible says you must believe, you receive when you pray, Mark 11:24, and it says, and you'll have them. And so when you enter into that faith, you've now entered into patience that goes with it. And that is from the time you've released your faith from the time to the time that manifests. And that is the battle where most people drop the ball on faith, and we learned about patience. And so I encourage you, get online and listen to that over and over. Get your mind renewed, because the devil will play tricks on you. I call it the time trap, right? A month goes by, you're believing. I mean, you're so full of faith. Sometimes we get so full of faith, and I've been guilty of this, that you figure it's just got to show up the next day. I mean, I am full of faith. But some of these things take time. There's opposition. There's natural things that need to be put in play. There's a natural realm. And sometimes maybe we're not fully developed in our faith, and so sometimes these things take time. But you got to have that same fire day one as day 101, day 1001. That's what faith does. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is to renew your mind to what the Bible says about patience. So that's why he's telling you to add patience, because if you don't add patience, you're not going to be much of a faith person. Amen? There's still things I'm believing for that have been years. Same for you, I'm sure, that just haven't shown up yet. But you got to stick with it. Got to have that patience. And so tonight we're going to go forward, and we're going to look at verse 5 here. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Right? We're going to talk about knowledge tonight. And the reason that God says to add to these things, and this is the illustration that God gave me about adding to our faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, by grace are you saved through your faith. When you're in faith, you're also in the flow of God's grace. Because when there's faith, God's grace is flowing through that. And we need God's grace, and we need our faith for those things to flow through. But the Lord gave me the illustration of a water slide. And my kids enjoy going to Waldemere, you know, and the main attraction at Waldemere is the water, you know, getting refreshed when it's hot out, going down the water, going through the slides, getting in the pool, going down the lazy river and things. But the water's the main attraction. But it's not just water there. You can get water. You can get water in a swimming pool. You can go to the YMCA and jump in the pool. If you have a pool, you can go in a puddle and get water. No, what makes the water park fun is they put the water in a big tube that's real high, and it twists and turns, and it does free falls, and it goes through different colors, and it goes through dark spots, and it spins you around and twirls you around and things, and that's what makes it fun. So you need the tube, which represents our faith, but the water represents God's grace. But he's saying God's grace and your faith is not enough. Just like you could show up at the water park and there'd be a tube, because you need the tube and you need water, and there could be water in the tube, but water in a tube is not very much fun. So what do they have to do? They got to add to the water and add to the tube. What do? They add beams, they add poles, they add structures, they add steps, they have nuts and bolts. They add all sorts of things to the water, to the tube, and it makes it complete and makes the experience better. That's what God is saying to us. We need to add to our faith so that we can be fully complete and have the best experience possible as a human being here on earth. And tonight we're going to look at adding knowledge to our faith. Go with me to Hosea 4:6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, this verse, of course, we know, is one of the most popular verses when it comes to the knowledge, and we read this verse, but it also is so enlightening about the dangers of not having knowledge added to your life. He says in Hosea 4:6, he says, my people are destroyed when they lack something. Well, now we know why God's telling you to add it to your life. Amen. He says, my people are destroyed when they lack knowledge. So in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, when he's saying to you, add knowledge, what's he saying? He's saying, I don't want you to be destroyed. Because people that don't have knowledge, destruction is what they're going to walk into. Destruction is in their future. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Wow. That tells us something there. My goodness. And then go with me to John 8 and verse 32. It goes along. The Bible never contradicts itself. It goes along. Jesus is going to say something that goes along with Hosea 4:6. Destruction when there's no knowledge. My goodness. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth." Well, what's know mean? To have knowledge of something, right? He says, if you know the truth shall make you free. And I've said it this way before. Just having truth is not enough. You got to have a knowledge of the truth. So in Hosea 4:6, he says, if you lack knowledge, destruction is going to be in your future, in your life. And here he's saying, if you don't have knowledge, you're going to be bound. You're going to be held captive. Life's not going to be very liberating. Life's not going to be very freeing. It's going to be chains and bondage, not something you want to live life like. And he says all these things, destruction and bondage and captivity, are based on one thing, having knowledge or not having knowledge in your life. Hallelujah. Here's the thing you need to understand, is that knowledge is the beginning to victory being possible in every area of your life. God wants you to experience victory in every area of your life. In your health, in your finances, in your mind, in your body, in your children, in your job. Every area of life. And for that to be a possibility in the atmosphere, in the world we live in with opposition, knowledge is the beginning to victory being a possibility in your life. Hallelujah. Let me give you an example of this. Back in my heyday of sin, I had the unfortunate pleasure of winning one time pretty big at a casino. And I don't know if you know, but those things are pretty fancy. Those things are not meant for us to win all the time. That's how they keep them so fancy and so nice, you know. Odds are stacked against the people. But every once in a while you win, you know. And I did, and I was a big spender, you know, just buying people's drinks and dinners and big tips and stuff. I just felt like I was mini Donald Trump that day, you know. And in my mind, back in college, you know, it didn't take much to feel that way. And so I got the bright idea, because I was addicted to it, you know, that was on a weekend. I went back, usually the next day or the day after school. It was a school day, and I drove that 1990 Nissan pickup. You remember, it's the one that I threw a snowball through. Not because my arm's that great, because the truck was that bad. And I took that truck back to the casino, and I'm not kidding you. All the money that I had with me and all the money that I had in a debit card was gone in 5 minutes. I sat down at a table with Caribbean stud poker, and the minimum hand to play was over $100. And I was my mind was so, you know, deceived in thinking, wow, this is my ticket to freedom. Amen. That's what gambling does to you. It gives you that false idea. Amen. And I did. I lost all the money. And on the way home, you know, I was depressed and sad. And my truck broke down on I-90. And now I have to pay for a tow truck. And had to pay for a tow truck. And you know, they towed it to the garage. And it's interesting, at that garage, I noticed many people coming and going, paying for gas, people checking out the register in the convenience store of that garage where they towed my truck. And never one time did I go and ask any of them for money to pay for that tow. Even though they had money, they proved that they had money. They had credit cards on them with sure limits that would, I'm sure, pay for what I needed. Now, I could have asked them, but I would have felt pretty stupid. I would have felt very unconfident, right? I would have felt very unsure of myself. So who did I call? I called my dad. Oh, he wasn't happy with me, but I called him. Man, he wasn't going to leave me stranded. I'd be, my poor dad, you know, at that time. And so I called him. Why? Because I know what he had in his bank account, and I know what his response would be because I know him. So here's why people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because knowledge is the beginning of victory. Why is it the beginning of victory? Because knowledge is the beginning of faith being possible. I always say it this way, that knowledge is faith's mama, right? Faith must be born. Faith must arrive. Faith must be conceived. Faith arrives or is born or is conceived by knowledge. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, where did my faith or my confidence come in my dad? It came from having a knowledge. Where did my lack of confidence come with those strangers? A lack of knowledge. And so many people, Jesus said, my people are destroyed through the word of God and the Holy Ghost. And he said in John 8:32, captivity awaits the one that doesn't have knowledge. And destruction awaits the one that doesn't have knowledge. Because when you don't have knowledge, you can't have faith. When you don't have faith or can't have faith, you can't have victory. Because the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes our faith. Not our moaning, not our groaning, not our desiring, not our wanting, not our pacing the floor. The victory that will overcome what you need to overcome is your faith. And your faith for a certain specific subject needs to be birthed or come on the scene by knowledge. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says here that we'll be destroyed, we'll be captive without knowledge. So having being in the know is good. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know, yes, it can hurt you, you know? Isn't it just like a lie of the enemy to come up with these catchphrases that are anti-Bible? Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. No, no, no. Ignorance is destruction waiting to happen. Right. Isn't it just like him to say, oh, what you don't know can't hurt you? Certainly can according to the Word of God. Right. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing you get those little catchphrases, little things like that, you know? And so when you don't have knowledge, it causes you to struggle. It causes you to lack. It causes frustration in your life. Can I tell you a story? I used to have a dog. You know, she passed, well, I don't know, well, it was a year ago in September. This past September. Wrigley the Revelator, I call her. You know, remember Wrigley? I named Wrigley after Wrigley Field in Chicago. She got to watch the Cubs win the World Series with me. So praise God, she fulfilled her purpose on this earth. And we believe that Wrigley's in heaven, don't we? Yeah, every night, Abby, when we say our prayers, Abby says, Heavenly Father, we thank you that Willow's on the earth with us, and we thank you that Wrigley's in heaven. Well, she says Riggies. Riggies is in heaven playing ball with Jesus. And that's what we believe, isn't it? Hallelujah. We believe she's there waiting for us. But I call her Wrigley the Revelator because I got so much revelation on walks with her. But and that was my favorite dog I've ever had. I love her. I miss her. But if there was one thing about her that I wish I could have changed, is how long she took to go to the bathroom. Oh my gosh. You talk about pulling me over into carnality. There'd be times I'd be out of town and she'd text me and say, it took 20 minutes. I said, 20 minutes? She goes, I timed it. I timed it. I said, okay, 20 minutes, I believe. And there was one morning where it all came to a head. And it wasn't very nice out, you know, and Wrigley is just doing her thing. And it's getting into the 20 to 30 minute range of not going to the bathroom. And I'm losing my cool. And I'm out there and I think, now, what would have happened if someone would have seen this? I'd have been surely admitted to the insane asylum. Because I started getting down like this and talking to Wrigley as if she was like a human being and said, I don't understand you. You haven't peed since 9 o'clock last night. It's now 7 in the morning. If I wait 10 hours, the first thing I do when I wake up is I gotta go. I don't get it. What is your problem? And I would say to her, because this is what she'd do, I say, you know, Wrigley, and this is a true story, I was so angry. I said, when I go to the toilet in the morning, I don't walk up to it and start doing a dance. She starts to dance. I said, I don't pretend like I'm about to go and then stop and say, no, I'll do a little more dance. I don't walk around in circles. The toilet. You know what I'm talking about if you have an animal. I said, what is your problem? Finally, I got so mad, I said, I don't care. I don't care if your bladder explodes. I don't care if you pee all over the house. We're going in. And I brought her in, and I walked in, and I was mad, and I said to her, I said, she won't go for me. Been out there for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. I said, I'm done. I said, I don't care if it's uncomfortable for her, and I don't care if she pees all over the house. Doesn't matter to me. Full-blown carnal mode. Full-blown lose my cool, and she says, I already took her out. And so now I'm thinking, Wrigley's thinking, when I'm saying this to her, what is wrong with you? I've already done this today. But my point is this, what? Lack of knowledge led to frustration. Lack of knowledge led to hurt that was not needed in my life. Amen. You know, a lot of Christians, this is an example I use about not knowing. The lunch example, the one day I went out to lunch, I took my friend out, I wanted to bless him. But if you know me, I don't carry cash on me a lot of times. I just carry a couple credit cards and my license and wrap it up in one of her hair ties and I'm off I go. That's the way I go. I don't want a big wallet. I don't want a big wad of cash. Nope. Just. And so if we go places where they don't take credit cards, sometimes I'm in trouble. And he picked a restaurant that I had no idea didn't, and he didn't know that either. You know, we get there and find out, well, there's no credit cards here. And I thought, man, I'm so sorry. I wanted to bless you and I'll pay you back. But I feel bad. Do you mind paying for this meal? I don't have any cash. And he always carried cash on him. He said, sure. You know, so there I couldn't pay for it. Went out to the vehicle and I was putting my phone away in the center console and I noticed a $50 bill, I believe it was, $50 or $20 bill, whatever it would have paid for the meal, sitting in there. And so here the whole time, I had the ability to move forward and to go into a blessing and to be a blessing. But because I didn't know, I went without. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that there are so many Christians walking the face of the earth that are born again, that love Jesus with all their heart, that are going to heaven just as much as we are, that God loves them just as much as He loves us, that are walking around the earth sick, and they're thinking, this just must be the way it's supposed to be. This must just be my lot in life. This must be the way it's going to be till I get to heaven. There are Christians walking around that are broke, that can't pay for their bills, that can't be a blessing in that area. And they think, well, this is the way it's always been in my family. I'm just not one of those people that's going to make very much money on the earth. And the whole time, the blessing was sitting in the center console. They just didn't know it. The whole time, the dog already went to the bathroom. They just didn't know it. Hallelujah. We need to know, people. Hallelujah. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter... let's go to Romans 10 verse real quick. Romans chapter 10. Knowledge is the beginning to victory being possible. Romans chapter 10. Now it says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now we know in context it's talking about saved eternally, but we also know this, it's the same way it works for everything you need saving from. That word saved there is the word sozo in the Greek, and it means a complete salvation, not just spiritual. If you need healing in your body, what do? You call on the name of the Lord. You need prosperity, you call on the name of the Lord. You need something in life that the Word says you can have, you call on the name of Jesus and you'll be saved from that thing. You'll be blessed from that thing. But I want to look at it in terms of salvation, the greatest promise that God's given us, and I want to show you how this principle applies, and then we can carry it over into all the other promises that God's given us. He says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But verse 14 says, "How will they call on Him if they haven't believed?" He's saying you can't call on something you don't believe. Just like, what's belief? Belief is faith. Why am I not asking the people at that service station that are paying with credit cards and have cash in their wallet, seeing cash come out, why am I not asking them because I don't believe? I don't have confidence in them, so I'm not calling on them. Well, the Bible says you can't call on the Lord until you have believed. But he says, goes even further and says, and how can they believe? That's faith, so there's something that predates your faith. If you want faith, something has to take place first. Amen? He says, how will they believe if they've not heard? What's the hearing? The hearing is the knowledge. What happened with salvation? You didn't know that. You just thought this is the way life is, and I don't know what's going to happen with eternity, you know, and everything. You know, I think about September 11th, that was 2001, right? The September 11th, 2001. I remember standing outside my apartment in Fredonia, New York, on Water Street. One of my many tours of college that I was on. And Pastor Tim was out there with me. We were throwing the football around, and we were just thinking, wow, the times that we're living in. And just thinking, what happens to these people? Like, what's going on? Had no idea at all. And then October, November, December, January of 2002, 4 months later, I'm now saved and going to heaven. Well, what happened? I heard a preacher tell me some knowledge that gave me faith that I don't have to die and go to hell, that I don't have to wonder anymore. Well, it's the same way with healing. It's the same way with prosperity. It's the same way for any promise that you are standing on the Word and believing God for. Amen? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to show you tonight what true knowledge really is. 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't care that you know the verse, that you can quote the verse. That doesn't mean you know it. I'll show you the Word. It doesn't mean you know it. Well, I know chapter and verse, the reference on that prosperity. That doesn't mean you know it. He said, when you have knowledge, you won't be destroyed. When you really know, you'll be set free. So 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go to verse 2. In verse 2, look at this now. Grace and peace, isn't that what we want? Grace and peace be multiplied. Yes, we want that multiplied in our life. That's good multiplication. He says, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you because you're a Christian. No. I got born again. Let me just tell you something. I got born again January 10th, 2002. Now, my eternity changed. My destination of my permanent residency changed that day. And there was something different on the inside, you know, and the things I'd used to do before I was saved felt different. But my money didn't change. My thinking didn't change. My fleshly desires didn't change. Sickness in my body didn't change when I got born again. But I became a child of God. Well, I needed grace and peace added to my life. Well, grace and peace do not come by just becoming a Christian. Because there's a lot of Christians that are children of God, heaven bound, that do not have a life of multiplied grace and peace. It's crisis and chaos and torment and depression and fear and anxiety. And they're just as much born again as the one that's victorious. Because grace and peace come through the knowledge of God. Well, he said, if you have knowledge, you won't be destroyed. He said, if you had knowledge, you won't be in bondage. Now he says, if you have knowledge, grace and peace will be yours. Amen. Now look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. So he says, I've given unto you all things. Have given to you. That means he's already done it. But what things is he talking about? All things that pertain to life and godliness. There's no other things. Your life, natural life, and your spiritual life. There's no other things. That's why he said all things. Whatever you need in the natural and in the spiritual, God said, I've already given it. And I know what the first question that comes into people's heads is, well, if he's given me all things, why don't I have this healing? Why don't I have this prosperity? Why don't I have such and such? And whatever, if he already gave it to me, where is it? Well, the Bible says he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. All things that you need start at knowledge. A knowing. Why does Pastor Mike shout from the rooftops? Stop being spiritually lazy and get your butt in church. Because when you're here, you're hearing things. What about churches that don't preach the Word? Why can people go to church faithfully, love Jesus, serve, cry when worship comes on, put Jesus fish stickers on her car, never cuss, never swear, be completely moral and broke and sick as can be? Because they're not getting knowledge that can enable or be the catalyst of change. Amen. That's where change comes from. Through the knowledge of Him that called us unto glory and virtue. Let me just say it this way. Before I ever started prospering in my body, in my mind, in my finances, in life in general, I had to first know that that was an option. What happened to my life? Well, January 10, 2002, I get saved. When I get born again, I'm still broke, I'm still sick, I'm still sick in my mind, sick in my body, still things that had a hold of me in the flesh and wrong living and things like that, still there when I'm born again, but I'm heaven bound. But what happened was a couple of things. Reverend Randy Nelbone, who a friend, a good friend of mine that led me to Jesus, he gave me a men's study Bible, an NIV, and I absolutely devoured that Bible. I'm talking to the point that the pages got ripped and the binding came out. I went to church every Wednesday and every Saturday night. It was Saturday night back then. They had Sunday morning too, but it was Bible Christian Fellowship with Pastor Michael at the Lakeview building. And I went there. Well, what was happening when doing that? I was getting enlightened of knowledge of things that I had no idea were optional. I didn't know this Jesus thing included blessed in my money. I didn't know this Jesus thing included blessed in my mind. Freedom from all the things that sin had a hold of me. I didn't know it meant blessed in my body as well. I didn't know these things. And so I'm hearing these things. And what happens when you're hearing these things? Well, knowledge is faith's mama. So when knowledge shows up, there's labor happening. Faith is being born. And that's what was happening. I remember getting the book, Christ the Healer. And oh, when I got a hold of that book, it was absolutely life-changing. I thought, wow, I don't have to be sick anymore. And when sickness comes against me, there's an answer. How about all the Christians out there that are walking in sickness that are convinced that God did it, that God's okay with it, that that's their lot in life? There are Christians walking around like that. And they think that, why? They just don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. This statement came to me. The level of revelation that you have on a particular subject will determine the amount that you walk into that particular subject. What do I mean by that? The level of your revelation concerning prosperity will determine the amount that you actually walk into in life. Because it's based on knowledge. The level of revelation you have concerning healing will determine the amount of the level that you walk into in the natural realm concerning healing. Let me give you an example of that. Brother Hagin. Now, he tells the full story about when he was back believing God, you know, for all his offerings and no salary and just going from place to place and claiming what he needed and believing God. And when the car, you know, cars would break down, he's driving all over the country preaching the word, and he needed a nice vehicle to do it in. And so he found a Cadillac that he just loved and would, man, that would be the vehicle to take me around. And he used his faith. You know, he had a level, a certain level of revelation concerning prosperity, and had faith to purchase a Cadillac to get him back and forth to the places and things. And so one person was coming down on him for that Cadillac. Oh, what do you need a Cadillac for? Why do you got to have a Cadillac? And Brother Hagin said this. He said, "Don't be upset with me, because your faith is at Chevrolet faith, and my faith is Cadillac faith." Now, he wasn't saying Chevys are bad. I'm not saying that either, even though we drive Fords. I'm not saying, I don't know anything about them. I just like the way they look and they ride. I'm not saying a thing. But he wasn't saying Chevys are bad. But what he was saying was, don't come down on me for my revelation of prosperity that says if I want something better than a Chevy, I can bump up to the Cadillac and believe God for it. Because that's what he did. It wasn't that he was getting some big sale. No. He believed God for that bump up in payment, because something gave birth to that kind of faith. It was a lot of knowledge spent in finding out what God said about money. What God said about prosperity. Listen, if your level of prosperity is, I just want, revelation of prosperity is, I just want my bills paid, you're not going to get into much greater revelation. Amen. You know what you ought to just dare to do? You ought to just dare to believe. Now, this is where in the offering it's going to come up. Well, I've never been able to do that. We never able to do that. We're never going to be able to do that. No, you're bringing up the past and situations. You ought to just get a revelation of how much God loves you. And you ought to just start thinking in your head about a dream vacation that you'd like to go onto. And you ought to just keep getting in the Word. I know what thoughts come. Oh, I'll never. Don't listen to those. You need to get a revelation of what the, or a vehicle you'd like to have. and not let all the talkie-talkie or a wardrobe that you'd like to have get a revelation of how good God is, what prosperity says you can have, how much God wants you blessed, and meditate on that. Get your faith up high and then release it and walk into those things. But if you're always at, man, I'll just be happy with this general type of, or I just be happy if I don't care if the disease, you know, certain level of healing, whatever your level of revelation is, that's what you're gonna walk into. Amen. I was so hungry for God. See, you can have even different levels of knowledge. That's what we're talking about. You might think that you have it all figured out, but you don't. And the minute you think you do, you're deceived. Amen? It's true. There's always a deeper revelation. I'm always amazed. Like when I hear someone like Pastor Nancy Dufresne, who, by the way, she'll be in Fredonia in November, in the beginning of November, and I'll announce those meetings soon. I'm amazed when I sit under her ministry in the revelation of prosperity that lady has of how much I think I have a revelation of, you know, and she pulls me up even levels and levels higher. Amen. That's true. Or I hear someone that has such a revelation on healing or talk about the blood covenant and things, and I think, man, I got that down, check those boxes off, and they, wow, there's more for me to walk into, praise God. And I was hungry back then and just fired up to hear from God. But what was happening was knowledge was coming and faith was being born. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Excuse me. Jay, can you tell me what the thermostat says and what temperature it is in here? 72. Can you put the on cool and put it for 71, please? Thank you. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Paul says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. You'll have to turn it from heat to cool, Jeff. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency. He says, I count everything else a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Whew. He says, everything else in life is worthless in comparison to pressing forward and knowing Jesus more. Amen. Now, think about that. Because, I'll say it this way, what you give yourself to, you become proficient at. A lot of people give time and effort to hobbies and learning about history and the learning about the wars. I'm not saying you can't do all this stuff. But I'm saying, where's your time and attention going? Paul says, in comparison to finding out more about Jesus, nothing compares. Amen. You see, what happened to old Pastor Mikey was that I put down the hunting magazines. I replaced TV time with word time. Hallelujah. When I was facing $2,000 short a month when I started that church, oh man, I needed a greater level of a revelation of prosperity. So you know what I did? Stop watching the TV and start filling it up with the Word. Stop listening to music on my drive and start filling my drives up with the Word. Needed more, greater revelation. Hallelujah. And he says, Paul, this is Paul, the greatest, most victorious, successful Christian ever, says everything else is pointless compared to knowing him. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this to be sober here about this. The acquisition, I'm going to tell you what true knowledge is later. The acquisition of knowledge takes discipline, and it takes time, and it takes on purpose. Amen. What do I mean? Well, what does Psalm 46 and verse 10 say? It might say, I don't know, tell me. And I'm going to say to you, I'm about to. Hold your horses, we're going there. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Now this is how unskilled I am when it comes to electrical things. And if the other two thermostats are set on heat, but this one is set on cool, they do different things? They will? Okay, so we can have, Steve's back there laughing at me. See, Steve's one of those smart guys. He knows this stuff. He's probably thinking, my pastor, man, he needs, you talk about needing knowledge. So we can get air in here if the heat's on out there. Okay, good. You just keep it to yourself over there, okay? Who invited you here tonight? Anyways, I thought you left us for another church. I'm just messing around with her. Psalms 46 in verse 10. I'm just looking out for you. I don't want you to get too hot in here. Look what it says in Psalm 46 of verse 10. Be still. Be still. Be still. And then what? And know. What's he saying? You can't get into knowledge without making the effort to be still. Now, the Message Bible brings this out so clear of what I'm talking about. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me. Who's him? The Word. Your high God above everything. What's he saying? Be still. Get out of the rat race. Take time to know God. You can't know these things. You can't come up higher without a on-purpose effort to know Him more in a certain area. Amen. There was a lady at the Jamestown Church. This is a true story. She was so mentally, had such a stronghold in her mind mentally from the enemy, that when her husband would leave for work, she would literally, she was so possessed and bound by the enemy, sit in her garage all day long and rock back and forth and not say a word, not eat anything, not drink anything until he got home. She was so terrified and so, well, she wouldn't go anywhere, wouldn't leave the house. Even when he came home, wouldn't leave the house. Such a possession. The enemy's evil. The enemy's evil. See, that's weird. Well, the enemy causes, remember when the guy was in the Gadarenes? He was demon-possessed. What did it cause him to do? Cut himself. Caused him to cut himself. The devil and the manipulation of the enemy. And so she's just rocking back and forth for hours. Well, she wouldn't come to church, and we got a lady in the church let us know. And so we loaded her up with a pile of Pastor Tim's CDs and my CDs back when I used to preach there, and they would make CDs for sale. And loaded her up and said, "If she, when she's sitting there, let her do what she's going to do, but let the Word be playing for hours and hours and hours." And they did. And eventually, what was happening when she's hearing that? Knowledge is coming. When knowledge comes, faith. When you hear the Word, faith is arrived. Romans 10, 17. So she's hearing the Word, still doing that, rocking back and forth, not saying a word, in her garage, just staring out the window, blankly, you know. But she's hearing the Word. And all of a sudden, she doesn't feel the urge to have to sit there that many hours. And so she starts cutting back. It starts cutting back to the point where it's like, I don't feel like I need to sit in that garage anymore. And she starts doing stuff around the house to the point where she starts leaving the house and actually makes a trip once a week to the store. And it starts increasing to the point that she ends up in Pastor Tim's church on fire, serving God with her family. True story. What happened? She was still and she heard and heard and heard. See, a lot of us need a greater revelation on things, but you're going to have to get out of the rat race. I'm going to tell you something. Most people, I'll probably say all, everybody that's not, you know, I'll say 99.9 because there's always one, you know, or two. But people that can't even be faithful to their visitation, you know what they're not doing at home? They're not in the Word. If they were in the Word, their conscience would tell them to get their butt to church. Their conscience would say, get faithful and plan under a pastor. Because Jesus said, without a pastor, you're scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. People that are outside of the Word and you know, out there that aren't faithful, they're not diving into this and getting things from God. Amen. It's just the truth. Now, there might be some that have a wrong idea and don't believe they need a pastor, and they're still in the Word or whatever, and they're just going against that heart. But usually, if you can just get people in here, that's the level of revelation they're getting. It's just a Sunday, and if they can get them to Wednesday, on a Wednesday night. But see, when I had to get $2,000 shorter, when I had that appendix blow up, It wasn't going to take the revelation that I had. I was at a certain, like Brother Hagin was saying, there's Cadillac revelation, there's Chevrolet revelation. And he wasn't coming down. He was just saying the revelation's different. Don't get down on him. Or me for that, he was saying. Same thing. My revelation of prosperity needed to shoot up to get through what I was going through. My revelation of healing needed to come up higher to walk through that test and trial. And so many people are in a word church and they're hearing these things and they need healing in their body, but it's an absolute test. It's an absolute force against them. They need prosperity, but they're not willing to pay the price to acquire that kind of faith. Because again, faith doesn't come because you want God to feel bad for you. Your victory doesn't come because you think God's just going to all of a sudden see, wow, they've been like that for 6 years. I'm just going to step in. No. How your life turns out has way more to do with you than it does God. He will let you be sick your whole life. I've seen Christians be sick their whole life. He will let you be broke your whole life. How do I know? I had a family members on my dad's side that love Jesus. And financially it was a struggle their whole life. They just didn't know. God didn't swoop in. Whoo, man. Be still and know. Now, go with me to the book of Job. That's the book before Psalms. Go to Job chapter 22 and verse 21. Job 22 and verse 21. Now, here's what I want to say to you. It's worth it, ladies and gentlemen. It's worth diving in and finding out all that God has for you and getting a deeper knowledge of it. And again, at the end, I'm going to show you exactly what knowledge is to give you the litmus test of it. Job 22 and verse 21. Acquaint now yourself. What's he saying? Become acquainted. Become knowledgeable. Right? Acquaint now yourself with him. And be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. Why is it worth it? Because if you'll take the time to become acquainted with him, him is the word, peace will be yours and good will be yours. But you can't become acquainted with somebody without spending time with them. Right. Amen? You can't get to know somebody without spending time with them. Yeah. Amen? It's true. Praise God. Taking the time, slowing down your life, being disciplined to make this a priority and not, how it's worth it. You know, at times people will come to me for financial advice and things with my testimony. And I've had to deal in a few cases with people that someone had passed away. Maybe they were left an inheritance. And in one case, a person was left a certain amount of money. But to get that money into their name and to get that money into where they can use it or whatever, however it goes, you know, legally, through the lawyers and things, the money was theirs. Yeah. The person left it in the will. This amount of money is yours. Legally, God left us a will. Amen. Said there's certain things in here that are ours. Well, just like that person, you know, they come and they have a huge packet of things. And maybe they're not financially geared and neither really am I when it comes to stuff. And there's a lot of big words. There's a lot of reading. And there's a lot of study. And there's a lot of things that might have to be done. And papers that need to be signed. Things that need to be filled out. Laws that need to be filed. Tax and all that stuff. But they don't sit there and look at the amount of money that they can receive and say, that packet's too big. It's just not worth it for me. No, they'll take the effort because they have a revelation that that number there would look a lot better in their bank account. So they get the knowledge and go through the process of getting the knowledge of what do I need to do to find out. See, when you have a revelation, what belongs to you and what is at your disposal, you will take the time. You will make the effort to get acquainted with him, to find out what God has said. I'm amazed at people that come up to me and say, Pastor, Pray, will you stand in faith with me? I'll say, for what, brother? For what, sister? I'm believing God for my healing. And the first thing I'll say to them is, oh, wonderful. What verses are you standing on? And that's about all, folks. That's all they could say. They don't know what to say. I'll say, then you're not believing. There's no faith there because faith only comes from knowledge. But I heard you say God's a healer. Well, that ain't enough. Amen. Pastor, I'm believing for my finances to turn around. I'm believing for a baby. I'm believing for a spouse. I'm believing for a job. Wonderful. Praise God. You should. The Word says you can have it. But what are you standing on? Then you're not in faith. Because the knowledge is the foundation. It's the confidence. Praise God. Now, here's a litmus test that I'm going to tell you now. We'll close this down here. You know what the litmus test is of whether or not you're in knowledge? Let me tell you what it is. If tonight you were to walk out of here and you were to get a text message or a call that every bit of your income that you have now coming in a steady stream every 2 weeks, every 1 week, every month, whatever it is, comes in and they say it is shut off from this point and there is no hope of it returning and this is the way it's going to be for the next year or two. No income coming in. That was the facts of your life. What would be your response? This is a litmus test to how much you know. Say, oh, but Pastor, I'm not saying you wouldn't be shocked at first and the thoughts wouldn't come. But when you know the Word, Pastor Nancy said this one time. She said, when you think right concerning the Word, when you don't have enough money or it looks like you don't have enough money, it won't bother you. When you think right concerning your body and what the Word says about healing, when symptoms in your body or doctor's report, they won't trouble you no matter what they are when you're thinking right. What would be your reaction? Would it be, oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh my gosh, I never have enough money. Calling everybody, what am I going to do? You don't know enough. That tells you need to get more knowing. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, doesn't the Bible say in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. So if you lose your riches and you're moved off of a place of faith, that just shows that your faith the whole time was in your riches and not in His riches. And you don't know enough.
That's right.
Amen. Or what about if a doctor gave you a report and they use the words like impossible and incurable? Are you shocked and running around with worry and fear and pacing and wringing your hands? If you are, you don't know enough. That's the indicator. The litmus test is when you're going through hell on earth, what's your face look like? What's your tone of voice look like? What's your walk look like? What's your attitude look like? Because faith is an attitude. Faith is a look. Faith is a sound. Faith smiles. Faith enjoys the journey. Faith is full of expectation. But if you're, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? You're just proving to yourself you don't know enough. So, how do we get to the place where we know enough? I'm glad you asked. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. This will be the last place we'll go to tonight. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. You see, Pastor Mike learned something tonight. Because I have at times froze out the nursery in different places because I just thought if we put the air on in here, we got to put the air on in there. I didn't know. Now I know when we're set free. See how this works? When you know something, you get set free. Who'd have thought in 2018 they'd have an invention that in one building you could send cold air to one room and hot air to the next? Can that happen in my house too? It can? All right. Life just got better. I'm not kidding. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Here we go. Are you ready? Before I say it, I want to say this statement. Knowing is not a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. When you really know something, it's not by the head, it's by the heart. I had people, this is a true story, is right around, well, it was about 3 months ago, two separate appointments. within a couple weeks. People come to me with things that they have problems with. Nobody in here. And because you guys never have any problems. But they came to me with their problems, and I said, okay, well, the word is their answer. I had one of the situations sit across from me and say this to me. They said, oh, Pastor Mike, we're excited about this. They had been going through the same thing for years, just circling the same mountain of defeat, digging the same rut of defeat. And they said to me, Pastor Mike, oh, we are excited you're here. We're excited to hear the scriptures that you're going to share with us concerning this, because the ones that we know concerning it, they don't work. They had the audacity to say that to me. And I mean, I wonder what my face looked like. Because I know what the inside, and I tried to make my face look like different than what I was thinking on the inside or in my head. I had, to go further, I had one person on the phone, and they told me, this is what they're going through. I said, this is the answer. Oh, I know those verses. I said, no, you don't. They said, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't know them. Now, they're struggling in this area. I said, no, you don't know them. Yes, I do know them. Finally, I got kind of mad. I said, you know what I don't do? I said, I don't argue with a mechanic when he says I need a new alternator. Because I don't know. He does. I said, I don't argue with the dentist when he says I have a cavity. Oh, no, I don't, dentist. I don't know what you're seeing, but I don't have that. Oh, this is what the doctor's report's showing. Amen. I said, stop arguing with me when you came to me for your help. And I'm not struggling in this area. And I could tell you how to get out. I wasn't trying to be mean, but if you're going to sit there and argue with me, sometimes you just got to get smacked. Yeah. Not real smack, with a real physical smack. You know, we're not promoting physical violence around here. But oh, I'd like to sometimes. Ooh, and you would too. You know it. I said, stop arguing with me. You don't know it. Because Jesus said if you knew it, you'd be free. He said, if you know the truth, you'll be free. Now, he wasn't talking about that it had to be when, he didn't say when the manifestation comes, you're free. He says, when you know the truth, you're free. That means before the manifestation comes. And so sitting across those people, said, I'm excited about the verses because the ones, I said, you just don't know the ones that you think you know. Well, we can tell you chapter and verse. That don't mean you know them. Right. You know about them, but you don't know them because the Bible says when you know, you're set free. Well, here it is in verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. Well, what's the more sure word of prophecy? It's talking about the word of God. He's saying we don't need an angel or Jesus or some supernatural thing to come across our plate for us to believe. Ladies and gentlemen, if we would have a revelation of what this book is, this is the actual words that flowed from your Father God. This is prophecy. This is revelation. This is dynamic, supernatural help. Amen? Amen. And so it says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, talking about the word of God, whereunto do well that you take heed. What's take heed mean? Give attention to it. Amen. Give it place in your life. As unto a light that shines in a dark place. Now here we go, until. People say, how do I know? Well, I had someone share with me, and I'll give you, this is the best way I can put this example. Someone shared with me a disease they're going through, incurable. And they said, listen to healing message, listen to me preach, listen online, listen to Brother Hague, different things. And they said, in the midst of their situation, in the midst of their circumstance, in the midst of their symptoms, they said, all of a sudden, I knew I was healed. Not because the doctor's report was any different, not because the symptoms of my body were any different. All of a sudden, I knew that I was healed. And from that moment, I was set free. Because Jesus said, if you'll know the truth, you'll be set free. See, what happens when you get a revelation of knowledge, that's why I said, how much you know is when hell comes to your doorstep, what's your reaction? When you know the truth, your reaction is, praise God, I'm getting through this. When you don't know the truth, your reaction is, this thing is so hot. It was never going to change. I'm never going to make it. So it says, you need to give a heed unto the word of God as a light unto a shineth in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. What's that mean? You listen and meditate and give heed to that word until something goes off on the inside of you. And the day, until the day dawns, until the day star arises in your heart, all of a sudden there's a knowing in this person. Told they have this, symptoms say they have this. All of a sudden the day star rises in their heart and say, I'm healed. I'm healed. But I'm healed. It's like we were talking on Sunday morning. People that go through terrible times of abuse and stuff when they're younger. God gives us the opportunity to live on a plane of a new creation, of not a victim anymore, but a victor. And live that a life of new things, and old things have passed away. Say, well, how can that happen? How is that going to happen? Until you get in the Word and you give heed to being a new creation, and old things have passed away, and forgetting things, those things which are behind, you do that until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart, until all of a sudden you come to a revelation, say, I'm not a victim anymore. That's the old me. The new me is new in Christ. I've not been abused, and I'm going forward in faith. That's what happens. And I got a revelation. The day star rose in my heart. It doesn't matter that the bank account says I'm $2,000 short. It doesn't matter that the bills say that. I am blessed and the money's coming, and that's all there is to it. And I'm walking the floor in my hospital room, sick as can be. Doctors telling me it's going to be a year. Some things for your whole life. But the day star had arose in my heart, and I knew it doesn't matter what they say. I'm not disregarding what they say. I'm not disrespecting. But the word says I'm healed, and I knew it. Before it came to pass, that's when you know, and from that moment you're set free. So don't just say, I know the scriptures, I know the scriptures. Yeah, but if you're bummed out of faith, still in doubt and unbelief, still in worry and stress, you don't know enough. But when you know it, you no longer identify yourself as that sick person, as that broke person, as that abuse victim, as that whatever situation. It's like I say this, people believe in God for a child. Start when you get that revelation. Or believe in God for a spouse, you start calling yourself, I'm a wife, I'm a husband, praise God. I'm a mommy, I'm a daddy, praise. You get that revelation, and pop, goes off on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. Oh, God is good, isn't He? I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, pull if you need just to even get in the starting gates, get some revelation on a subject you need, but go even deeper and come up higher. There's more for you. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. Were you blessed? Amen. That was about an hour. That's about what I try to do on a Wednesday night. So let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach the word tonight. Oh, Father, until that's good, Lord. Until you're calling those things which be not as though they are, you need more knowledge. As a sick person, calling yourself a healed person, that's when you know. And you're rejoicing over it, and you're shouting over it, and you're running through your house, I'm healed, I'm healed. That's when you know. As a broke person, rejoicing like I would do when Caleb would go to bed and do a Holy Ghost dance in the middle of his room at 1 a.m, say, Father, I thank you. The money's coming. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous in Jesus' name. That's when you know. Hallelujah. As condemnation gripped me to the point of almost taking my own life, and it would hold me down and get me depressed. And finally, I got a revelation of who I am in Jesus, that He's got a plan for me. And those thoughts, and in the middle of those thoughts, in the middle of those feelings, I would rejoice and say, He has begun a good work in me. He'll complete it till the day of Jesus. He has a plan for my life. That's when I knew. And I was set free. Praise God. Father, we love you tonight. And I pray for these people, Father, they'd have a revelation of this. That they would have a revelation of the beginning and the starting place to faith. And Father, that they would take heed and they would take it seriously. And Father, they would increase their level of revelation concerning a subject. Father, I'm amazed at times where I think, you know, the thought will come in my head, what more is there? Now, I know, Father, it's a wrong thought. I'm not agreeing with this thought, but thoughts will come in, well, what more could you learn about prosperity? You've heard Brother Hagin. You've heard people preach it and things, and then I'll go and hear it again. I'll think, my goodness, I'm not even there. I'm not even close to being where I need to be. Or about healing. That's why I say there's way more I don't know than I do know, because there's always a deeper place to go. Now, Father, I know everyone in this room is born again, but if by chance someone's listening online now or in the future, I pray they would not pass from this life till Jesus is their Lord. And if you're listening by live stream, you say, what are you talking about? Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You didn't say it was good works, church attendance, or giving money, or having your good deeds outweigh your bads through Jesus. And all you have to do is believe in Him and confess Him. Romans 10:9 says, "Thou, if you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved." So if you're listening by live stream, you say, "I do believe in Jesus, but I've not been a good person, or I've not gone to enough church." That is not how you get into heaven. But if you can say in your heart of hearts, "I know Jesus is real. I can't explain it. I don't understand everything, but I know there's just for some reason, I know He's real," then you are qualified for heaven. And the last thing you need to do is just to ask Him in your heart. Just simply say to Him, "Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died. I believe You rose again, and I am asking You to come into my heart." If you'll do that, He'll save you. Heaven will be yours. God will become your Father. And your best days are yet ahead of you. And your next job is to plant in a Bible-teaching church and to hear the Word of God. It doesn't have to be here, but it needs to be a Bible-teaching church. Because why? It's the knowledge of the Word that gives us the faith. It's the faith that enables us to walk into victory. And as Christians, when we walk into victory, we take the devil out in the name of Jesus. That's the purpose of prosperity. It's not so we can just line our pockets and get stuff. It's so we can be funders for the kingdom. That's the purpose for healing. Not so we can just have a healthy body, do all the fun things we like to do on earth, but so we can be used by God and tear the devil up. Let's worship Him tonight and thank Him for His goodness and His mercy. Father, we're in love with You. We love You so much. We honor You tonight. Thank You for helping us. We're going to add these things to our faith, patience and knowledge. We're going to do it, Father. We're going to be complete. We're not going to stumble in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that You'd bless every single person going forward. Angels, go before these people and bear them up in Your hands, lest they dash their foot against a stone. We declare no evil will befall them and no plague will come near their dwelling. And we declare by faith all the days of our life we are healthy, wealthy, protected, full of joy, full of peace, and full of favor in the name of Jesus. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you Sunday at 10. Hallelujah.